Let's move on. Now, we jump forward to page 109, the draft budget. We've got less than an hour to go. We're more than a third of the way through the meeting, though. That's good. Now, this is one where we do have to allow questions. We can't just skate through this. And the first question I've got on page 109, it was only about a month ago that I sought advice from staff about the waste recycling contract and received an email which gave me a lot of assurance that things were going along according to plan and that we had a contract in place for not only collection but recycling, indirectly at least. And now there's doubt cast on that. So it's certainly disappointing to hear that. There's a reference there at the bottom of page 109. So, Mr. Mifsud, what is the latest on this issue?
Through the chair, Solo CEO has requested in writing formally from their recycler to explain what their position is, and we're currently waiting for a response. So the last update that I provided to members about a week or so ago hasn't altered at this point in time, so it's still up in the air.
So it's, well, all I can say is it's difficult. There's obviously a point in dispute, and it makes over $500,000 to our budget. So I suppose just next time we come back with the budget, we'll have to have another look at that point. That's all we can do. But at this stage, we're putting it into the budget. Can I just ask if there are any other questions from members? Councillor Telfer?
I was looking through the schedule. I'm just hunting for the page. And it had not only the littering fine of $315, but it also had another fine for littering and nuisance, and it said new, but it didn't explain where litter fine of $315 finished and the $75 fee for littering started. So I guess that's my first question.
Mr. Barnwell.
Just Chair, the living fine is actually an estimation fee, which is for living. The other fee in place is probably more described as for permanent occupation of the exemption from the production price, then it would be still an estimation fee that I described in that.
My second question is about. Like on page 196, there's stars, fees will be announced late June by state government and two other places. Is this of a concern that we are passing a budget when we don't know what the state government fees are going to be and what the schedule is going to be?
Through the chair, this is a normal activity. We don't normally get the state increases until sometime mid-June, so we're expecting shortly. So it's we will apply those. We passed the budget with the fees as they sit, so we will obviously, if there's an increase in those fees, we'll apply those fees and bring them into the budget. So hopefully by the 26th of June, we should have confirmation of those numbers.
Thank you.
Councillor Hutchinson.
Just following on from that, it's fair to say, though, for the members' benefit, that we're not budgeting based on income of penalties or expiations, are we? We're not budgeting revenue.
Well, we're budgeting what we know right now is what's budgeted is actually in the budget. Obviously, if there's an increase in those fees, we'll apply those to our charges.
Other questions? Councillor Gard.
Yes, I want to refer everybody to the chart on page 114. And advise also that I did send an email out early this morning to all members about my concern on one aspect, But firstly, my questions relate to the asset sustainability ratio in the long-term financial plan and the asset consumption ratio in the long-term financial plan. The ratio is being way outside the council target, so that was my first question, an explanation. But my second question surrounds our borrowings, the debt that we are prepared to incur. And I have brought this subject up many times now, and it's actually starting to perturb me greatly that I'm not getting much response from my colleagues on it.
But Councillor, come to the question and you can make those points in debate.
Yeah, my question is whether we have, in regard to our debt levels, whether we have done substantial modelling as to the reasons that we select a relatively low debt, in fact a very low level of debt, compared with our other councils in South Australia in general. I believe the average ratio for net financial liabilities, for example, in South Australia in local government collectively in the year 2015-16 was 28%. And we're way, way, way down on that. And the problem with this is that... Yeah, sure. Yeah, thanks very much.
Long-term financial plan. We council through its historically, I suppose, rates. We have accumulated considerable cash reserves, and obviously, utilising those reserves before we increase our borrowing within the long-term plan would be the more sensible approach to do. Is what we've suggested. What we've had through the forums. Obviously, there is future borrowings factored into the long-term financial plan in 1920, which of $12.96 million in the long-term plan. So, in effect, in this budget, over the next 2 years, we're using $12.5 million worth of reserves, and we're also borrowing $12.5 million in the 1920 in the long-term financial plan. So, actually balancing those utilisation of our reserves, cash reserves, and future borrowings.
Further question, Councillor Gard, or yes. That's enough for now?
Yeah, no, I do. Because, you know, my feeling is that with any major organisation, there is a need to pursue what would be recorded as optimal level of debt. And that means, in the long run, quite possibly savings, even though you're paying a higher interest rate than you are receiving on your reserves. There are other principles, and I've itemised those in the email I sent out today, such as the generational issue.
Councillor, this really is a place for debate on the budget, not a question.
It's just to qualify the question that have we really done the modelling that, for example, a management consultant would insist on for a very large entity to ensure that we are not turning our backs on some obligation as far as investment and borrowing ratios are concerned for this very large council. And I am not convinced, at all, that we are doing the necessary homework to get the best result. And it's concerning me more and more as each year goes past.
Right. Well, let's hear from Mr. Mifsud.
Thank you, through the Chair. A few things to respond to those questions, Councillor. Firstly, Council obviously has two components of core services. We've got our operational services that we deliver to our community, and our capital works programs are core business. So in terms of borrowings, you would not recommend to borrow money for your core services. You would only consider borrowing for major strategic projects over and above your core services. And as Mr. Barnwell's already highlighted, Council has in a very concerted manner over the last few years, actually built up its cash reserves with a specific strategic purpose to deliver a number of very, very, very good projects for the community. And we also have some borrowings that are forecast in the long-term financial plan, which are also directly linked to major strategic projects. That's a very prudent and a very responsible way to manage our funds, but certainly we wouldn't ever suggest to Council to borrow money for anything other than major strategic projects, not for your core business at all.
Okay, other questions? All right, I've got a couple. Councillor Telfer.
Another little one. Page 185, where we've got a hall for hire, Perry Bar Farm. Why do we have a risk administration fee of $10?
Ms. McKenzie thinks it's insurance.
All right.
Yeah. So it's an additional $10 per hire to pay for insurance. But is that for contents insurance?
No, it's okay.
To cover the community group, for what sort of risk? Public liability. So, are you saying they pay to reimburse council for the public liability insurance that we have?
No, it's to cover them as a group. So they cause a liability. Their event is covered.
Well, can you? Sorry, I'm not sure if all council can hear that. Can you just explain that? Thanks.
It's my understanding that it is a $10 event hire cost, so that covers the community group when they're hiring our facilities to make sure that that group is covered for public liability.
Okay. On the subject of hall hire, I must say it's not the first time, but today was another occasion when I had heard from a resident that our hall hire fees are becoming so high that community groups won't use them. So we'd rather have empty rooms and have no income than get the occasional $30 an hour hire. So a lot of the small non-profit groups, they might only have 20 members, they might, you know, have a lot of them have annual membership fees of $5 or $10 a year or something. So to be asked to pay $30 an hour to have meetings in our community facilities is a bit much. And I'll put that out to you members, whether it's gone too far and whether we should reverse the trend. You'll see the figures in there. Page 195's got Mitchell Park and Trott Park. Trott Park's putting theirs up from 25 to 30 this year. And Glandore's under neighbourhood centres. They start at 30 and go up to about 65 an hour, depending on which building you're hiring. But I put that out to your members, because if somebody wants to suggest it should be lowered, I think that there'd be a lot in the community would welcome it. Now, I've got a couple of other points. There's the reference to the EBA in assumptions on page 158. That's a point that I raised with management probably a couple of weeks ago, saying that we should distinguish between the two different EBAs. But if you look at the third dot point under assumptions, it refers to a 2.3% increase per annum in line with the enterprise agreement, etc. So there's absolutely no reference to the other enterprise agreement, which is currently being negotiated. So in the next iteration of this, could that be corrected, please?
Yes, absolutely.
Mr. Mifsud, thank you. Thanks, Mr. Mifsud. Now I turn to page 132. Now, something that was introduced as an idea while I was away the 2 months earlier in the year in terms of the KPIs, and then something which was endorsed after I left one of the General Council meetings early just recently. And I must admit, I had a couple of other opportunities at committees where I didn't see this in the fine print. But we've adopted in our draft, and I stress this is only a draft, staff retention goals of 90% is a core target, 95% is a stretch target. Now, the history to that is that we had targets like that 4 years ago. And what it tells management is you must retain staff as much as you possibly can. Don't let anyone go, because we've got a KPI that says the more you retain, the better. Now, management practice generally does not align with that. Generally speaking, you expect a degree of turnover, and in fact, there can be some staff that you want to let go if they want to go. So at the beginning of the council term, we reviewed KPIs. We specifically changed that KPI to reflect an optimum of around 88 to 92% turnover, with above 92% being the acceptable, not the excellent value. So I put it to you, members, if somebody wants to go down that track, that the core target should be perhaps over 88, but the stretch target should be 88 to 92. Just a thought. Any other questions? Councillor Blescu?
Just, I've had some comment from the community as well about the fees that we charge for our facilities. So my question is, how could we pursue that? Because there's probably going to be a sweet spot where you'll drop the rates, or you drop the costs, or somehow lose a certain amount of revenue to accommodate extra people, but you also might have a situation where you just get the same people hiring more, which I guess we may not always want, or you have no difference and the same people just get a discount. So is there maybe some direction from staff on how we could pursue that?
I doubt we've done the economic modelling, but anyone like to make a suggestion? Ms Dixon?
Through the chair, should council want us to undertake a review of like the fees for community hall and other facilities, we could certainly undertake that. In developing these, it should be noted we do market testing and do comparables with other facilities, but take the point that, you know, fees can be a barrier for some community groups, and the cost is that there's less activation in some places, so we could do a review of that and bring that back to council. It obviously would have an impact on the revenue, but that could be adjusted through a future budget review as well. So I'd suggest we take the time to do that review properly.
Councillor Hull and then Westwood.
A couple of questions. Page 192, it talks about the water slide now. Is this exclusive use of the water slide at the pool? Two water slides, it's a 63% increase from $92 up to $150. Does that mean you book out the water slides?
True, Chair. Yeah, that's exactly what it means. You booked out both water slides. Like previous year, we had the one, which was introduced, the second one this year. So this fee, that's why the fee has gone up, because you'd actually pay for it. It's not the charge to use it, but you'd actually book the slides for that for your event, so you'd have obviously to pay for.
So nobody else can use it, and you've got it.
Yeah, it's for an exclusive event, as such, for both slides.
I've got a big question, Mr. Mayor, that I think local government should keep an eye on. You've raised the issue about recycling and the China syndrome. I just wonder, given that we've received conflicting advice, you know, we're all pretty happy with Mr. Mifsud's responses not that long ago, that we've got nothing to worry about. Things are changing rapidly. And I just wonder who can police this on an international scale, that we're not being gouged, that, you know, that some opportunist people, knowing that some councils, because of their contract arrangements, have got to pay a lot more, are not going to have a go at us as well.
Councillor Hull, I don't think anyone polices China. It's the market that a directed market that sets the price.
How do we really know what's going on in China?
Mr. Skull, you're the man for this.
Thank you, Your Worship. I wouldn't have a clue. I certainly can't say how we would monitor what goes on in China. I do get the question, how do we make sure that the companies that are increasing their rates to $70 a tonne are not gouging? And we need to actually keep a very close eye on that. Can I say as well that there's been a legal challenge on their ability to actually put up their rates this company that we're talking about. So we're still waiting on that, and it certainly hasn't come through. But we heard this week that Vietnam has refused to take plastics and similar recyclables, so that the problem could get worse. The answer to your question, though, how do we make sure we're not being gouged? We need to be very careful as a sector, and I think this is something for the LGA.
Well, the other way in which we can be careful is to have a contract that says, you do this for this price for this period, and if you don't do it, you pay us extra, or we pay you less. So I personally would be seriously disturbed and shocked if we have a contract that allows suppliers or event purchasers down the chain to increase our cost. Because what does that say about our contract? But there'll be more on that once we get the legal advice. Councillor Byron? No, Councillor Westwood was next, and then Councillor Byron. Councillor Byron? That can just be corrected in between, can it?
There was a question under playgrounds, page 152, playground implementation program. Again, we aren't seeing the reserve down at Hullock Cove Heights listed, although we have talked about that incessantly this last year, and it's still not showing.
A comment from staff on that one?
Through the Chair, I'm not sure if staff can inform on the program for Hallett Cove Heights. I'm just trying to recall what we resolved with that playground.
That through, can be yes, taken the on chair, notice take it on and notice corrected and we'll in correct the next iteration the next. If need be. All right. Councillor Kerry.
Through the Chair, yes, it's 0.5% below inflation. It also continues Council's ongoing downward trend in average rate increases, and it also enables the long-term financial plan to be sustainable.
Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just referring to page 171 for a moment, in the long-term financial plan, outwards to 2027, if anyone's still here, we'll be at $52 million cash in hand at the end of the year. What would the net effect be if we had a 0% rate rise next financial year?
Mr. Barnwell's got his fingertips on that one,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, we'd have to model that. I still don't know, so model that all to be across from zero this year. Because obviously we had ongoing impacts from this year, which would flow right through. You'd also have a deficit in this year if you go at 0% right now.
A deficit in operating only?
No, in funding, in a cash funding position. We've a 109,000 surplus at this point in time. So 1% is 713,000 or something like that. So you'd actually have a deficit in your first year, which we wouldn't recommend having.
Which would then reduce our $18,663,000 cash at hand.
would reduce your cash, yes.
Councillor Crossland, question?
And some modelling on that.
The question was really, why is there a 33% increase? And Ms. Burns joining us to help with that one.
Through the chair, that is actually. There is a number of programs that feed into the community bus, and it all depends on who actually, like, we've got federal money there and state money as well, and so sometimes they actually dictate the prices that we charge. However, no one is penalised if they cannot afford to pay. Beg your pardon?
All right, we're probably ready to proceed to a motion. No, another question, Councillor Crossland.
Can I just ask then that there's a footnote somewhere on that list at the bottom as to why the 33% and that it, to show it's not a council increase? Thank you.
All right. Someone to move. You're going to move the
motion, yep. As is.
So, Councillor Bilescu, just before you say that, now, Mr. Misford was pointing out that the industrial rate there, is that one on the screen the one that's been in earlier budgets?
Yes, that's
right. So just checking that you're aware of that one in blue print, there was an earlier misprint, I suppose it was, that had 75. Any interest in relation to hall hire?
I'd like to see a report on all of it.
All right.
All of them come up, and maybe all our fees. I think that's probably the best way to go so we know the impact. But it's a good point, and I've had members of the community comment on our facilities as well. So,
yep.
Yeah.
KPIs, do it now or leave it till later?
I'm quite happy to reduce that KPI for the staff turnover to the 88 to 92. I think it makes sense. Side of the control of
as the stretch target, yep. All right, that'll be tacked on. Any further discussion?
I think members and Councillor Hutchinson through the chair just about asking about the impact of not raising rates at all. But it would put us in a precarious position. That money that we have savings, a lot of it is actually allocated, and then there's some capacity for anything extra that comes along, maybe extra money required for some of the major upgrades or facilities that we're looking at, as well as a bit of an emergency fund. I do thank councillors for that. I also like to thank councillors and all of us around this table that the fact that we can actually get a budget that is below CPI, you know, it wasn't the state government that has brought this on to us. It's been this council, and it's been every member around this chamber has contributed in some way. We don't want to charge more money for people, but we do recognise that some of our expenses have got higher. And I do remember what a community member told me about when they heard about what we're doing and what rate rise we have. And it's not just this year. We're not doing it 1.8 this year. We've got it budgeted throughout. I was actually under the impression that in further years it would be a little bit more for CPI, but we've got it at this level we've got, you know, basically 80% of CPI. They said you've reduced the rate increases, but you're still doing so much. And let's not forget what we're here for. We're here to provide services for our community. So I just hope that, you know, whatever happens after November, that the council at that time can still provide services for the community and still be prudent. And I'd just like to thank the members of staff and the council for contributing to that. That said, even though we're collecting less money than we could be, we still need to make sure that we're not wasting it. And I guess that's one of the things with, you know, I'd say to the state government, you know, as part of whatever you do with rate capping, look at how that money is spent. Look at supporting the councils to make sure that they reduce the money. Like, you know, Mr. Skoll got in somebody to look at our budget and found ongoing significant savings. That's the sort of stuff other councils need to do. And that's, you know, so you've got the stick with the rate capping, but then you've got that other support with a carrot. And, you know, ultimately we don't want to see public money wasted, be it state, federal or local.
Well said. Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood?
I actually wanted to ask for a clarification on a point.
Now's a good time.
In particular, I'll just ask anyone. You can slam me down. does the CEO need some kind of authorisation, or can the flexibility be introduced where the charges for halls, etc., is a project that's played around with, and there's some flexibility there to charge more or less and whatever until this sweet spot that I've spoken about before can be arrived at. I hope so. Thanks.
Through you, Your Worship, I think we'll bring back a report to give some flexibility to the managers of each of the sites with the rental fee, hall fees that they charge. I think that's a really good idea, because there are certainly some disadvantaged groups who just can't afford, and we are aware of that.
I'm happy to second the motion as well.
Oh, well, actually, you had a question. I'm going to Councillor Pfeiffer. He had put his hand up to second the motion.
Thank you, Worship. Yeah, I do enthusiastically second this motion. Look, it is, I mean, 1.8%. We shouldn't break our arms patting ourselves on the back, but it is an exceptionally good rate in comparison to most in local government. It is still a rise. However, as Councillor Valesky pointed out, it is below CPI, which I think is the first time, certainly in my knowledge, that we've dipped below CPI, which I think is a wonderful thing. However, it also speaks to the financial responsibility of this council, both the elected group plus the administration, and I think that's to be commended, because it's not just a one-off. It's not just a quick fix, low rate rise. It is that ongoing reduced rate, and it is also within that 10-year long-term financial plan. It does put us on a great course to actually achieve the things that we've set out, that we actually said that we want to achieve, but it does it in a really, really responsible manner. Thank you.
Then I'll put them... Councillor Hutchinson?
Yeah, I'm going to speak against this budget proposal. Can I? Thanks. members, we've talked about our prudence over the years, and I think it's fair to point out, because we need a balanced debate here, that for more than 10 years we had rate rises of 5% or more plus growth, and the last time I calculated the average was 6.8% over roughly a 12-year period. So we're actually starting from a very low base, or high base, depending on how you want to describe it. So the talk of a one-off gift to our ratepayers, and certainly other councillors have wanted this for some time, and in looking at what we have in reserves, I think we can give a one-off gift to our ratepayers of a 0% rate increase in the next financial year. We can draw on our cash reserves. We have more than $18 million sitting there. I think we're starting from a very low base, and I think it's time that we gave that gift. It's been a long road to get to where we are, and the staff have done a great job. But I think this is more of a political decision in a lot of ways, that we've waited so long to get to this point that we have real clarity around our financial position. So I'd be willing to support a 0% rate increase in this budget.
Anyone speaking in favour of the budget? Councillor Westwood, go on.
Right, well, as I've argued in the past, giving our residents a small percentage back won't count for much at all. It's a nice thought, but that's all it is. If we have accumulated millions, we need to use that constructively for our community. And I think that most residents, I would imagine, would be in favour of more facilities rather than getting a few dollars back from council, a discount. It's minuscule, I believe. So I would have to speak against that idea of zero, and 1.8 I think is very good. We're doing very well, and I thank the staff for all their hard work. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you, Councillor. Anyone speaking against the current budget? Councillor Crossland.
I also prefaced it with a question. What it says average rate rise, shouldn't it just be rate rise of 1.8%? And secondly, wasn't our minimum rate 1033 before? So why is the 1.8% being unevenly spread? Because that 1.8 is that's only gone up $7. Is that 1.8, or am I doing my maths wrong? So I don't get the maths. Are we doing? It's only a 0.7, unless somebody knows something I don't.
Because the average rate rise is your total rate take. Each differently valued property is going to have a different rate increase.
So the average capped rate rise. So how does that work with the minimum rate? What's happened there,
Mr. Barnwell?
The minimum should go up at the same percentage increase as the normal rate.
Yeah, that's what my maths was telling me. But 1033 times 1.8% doesn't equal 140.
Yeah, I think it's lower than that.
I thought it was 1033.
Yeah, through the chair, I'll just quickly verify, but off the top of my head, I think it's 1023, and 1.8% is pretty well smack on 1040, but I'll just quickly check.
I will stand corrected and apologise. And just to finish off, yeah, look, I speak against this budget. I think we can do a little bit better. We were just recently gifted $750,000, which is pretty much we could knock off 0.7% off our rate rise just on that alone. Not so sure we can achieve zero, but I think we can definitely achieve 1%, and that wouldn't break us into a sweat. Regarding Councillor Westwood's ongoing, just take a bit more. I know he said it for nearly all the projects, but I'd ask him to revisit the effects of compounding and look at what happens if you compound something by just a little bit, 0.5%, over 10 years. That adds up to a hell of a lot for some people, even the people paying minimum rates.
Anyone else speaking in favour of this budget, draft budget? Councillor Hull?
Absolutely, Mr. Mayor. Look, I know it's election year. You know, there is that temptation to throw it out there and say, look, you know, we're going to give you a bonus because it's election year. That's really not the way we should be operating. We're actually in a sweet spot. We've found ourselves in a sweet spot. This is the sweetest spot I've ever seen this council in. I've been here a long time, and it's the first time we have gone below CPI. We should be very thankful for that, as some people pointed out. And some people have quite rightly pointed out that we've actually started at a very good base, because we probably did overindulge for quite a long time. Mind you, that was more administration-led than anything else. Think about it. For the guys that were here in the last council term, this time at this particular point of the last council term, we were being told a lot of bullshit. Heaps of it. And it wasn't until Mr. Scull came along that things changed. And, you know,
don't you think things changed a little before that?
Well, Mr. Mayor, if you're feeling neglected, I have to acknowledge your participation in this as well. That's all right. It's all right. I'll say it again if you like. I'm only allowed so many questions, but I can accolade the Mayor as much as I want.
I don't think the meeting procedures limit accolades.
The clock stopped at that point. Even the clock stopped there.
I might be moving extension of time.
isn't it interesting, chaps and ladies, that some of the ones that are saying that we should, reduce the rate even more have got the boldest and most audacious motions on the agenda tonight for even more money. Isn't it amazing? Where's that going to come from? Is there a rainbow that suddenly appeared over Marino and Hallett Cove? Isn't it amazing that the very people that are saying let's actually bring this down in election year, don't forget it's election year, are actually the ones with their cap in hand tonight in a big way in this particular agenda. I'll leave it there.
Anyone else speaking against the current draft? Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, I still feel very strongly about our overall strategy from a financial point of view. I do sympathise somewhat with Councillor Hutchinson on the basis of why he feels we should have 0%. But I'm not going to enter that field of politics. I'm going to say let's stick with the 1.8. It seems a reasonable figure. But I think we need to bear in mind that we have over-collected rates for a very, very long time. And that is the reason why we have the reserves we have. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it is time for the next generation to start paying for the new initiatives that we are going to put into this council at a greater ratio than what we are currently charging them, and slowly but surely give back those reserves in other ways to the people of this generation. Now, what we are doing is oversimplifying the entire rates versus debt versus asset system. We are simplifying it to our heart's content, and we are not, ladies and gentlemen, doing our job properly. I'm saying that to you from a strategic point of view. If you were sitting in BHP or any other large company, you would find there would be far more strategy as to what the company is borrowing for and what it is using its reserves for and what it is yielding to its shareholders in dividends, etc., etc. I am saying that we are seriously short-sheeting this generation and favouring the next generation unduly, and unduly compared with almost all of our brothers and sister councils out there that are either in the rural or urban situation, and the City of Adelaide, you can throw that one in as well. The ratios that we have on record, and I note that we don't have a record in this organisation of the ratios of other councils. We do not have a record of those. And it is time we did. It is time we benchmarked, and it's time we got off our backside as a council and worked out once and for all a strategy for what we are going to do in the future and who is going to pay. And it's the end, as far as I'm concerned, of this generation paying for new stuff.
Anyone else in favour of this draft budget? Councillor Telfer.
We pay now with the assets we have. It is good financial management to pay with the assets we have. There will always be new challenges, new costs, and new ways of looking at what is needed in our community that will cause debt. We have a potential debt of $10 million yet to go on Mitchell Park. We've committed to borrow $10 million to Mitchell Park towards the $20 million. We may have to actually get the facilities we want, pay the whole $20 million, so borrow the whole $20 million. So there are it's instances where we still may have to borrow. They may not be this year because we have the resources and we have are lucky enough to have an ongoing regular income resource from rates. But we have six tennis courts at Seacombe Gardens or Seacombe Heights. They are going to be very expensive. It's another resource that we have to find. There are many other resources that were mentioned tonight. It's not as easy as just saying we will turn around and borrow. We need to be as prudent as we can, by actually using the resource we have. When that resource does not exist, then we need to borrow.
Anyone else speaking against this draft budget?
I'd like to speak against this draft budget. I'd like to reinforce what Councillor Hull said. There's a fair degree of hypocrisy here. There are some people that want to reduce the rate to 1% in election year, and yet they've been the ones that have been sitting here constantly voting 25,000 here, tens of thousands of here for various activities. And the simple fact is, if you want to reduce rates, you need to stop the spending. Now, I find it exceptionally hard to believe that we should be spending thousands of dollars, $25,000, in conjunction with the state government department in relation to Hallett Cove, and yet then have the hypocrisy to actually walk into this chamber and say, oh, we should decrease the rate to 1%. I agree. Just let me show you. I agree with what...
Order. Councillor Gard, you're on a warning. Seriously, you've interjected a few times, and it's not acceptable, really. Now, Councillor Kerry, please go on. But order. Well, you'll be on. You'll be out next. Councillor Kerry, it would help if you made your remarks less personalised.
Well, no, I'm sorry, but the facts are the facts. I mean, there are people that are running around the place wanting to spend $6.5 million on a BMX track. Right, and then they want to walk into this chamber and go, oh, we'll just have a 1% increase. Well, the fact is, if you want to reduce the rates by 1%, you need to reduce spending. It's very black and white. And I think it's very hypocritical and outrageous that people are doing this in election year.
All right, mover in... is that a point of order, Councillor?
A point of order. I think that was aimed at me personally. And if you want to look at hypocritical, have a look in a mirror. Your performance.
Withdraw that comment. That's outrageous.
That's not the way to do it. Councillor Crossland.
Councillor Crossland, I'd like him to withdraw that.
Well, I've chastised him for his remark, and
he's making a personal remark in relation to me, and I think he should withdraw it. And he's obviously feeling guilty.
Councillor, the best thing to do is just try and finish this meeting in a few minutes and stay calm for just a few minutes longer. Councillor Valescu, the right of reply.
I'll be really quick. Look, I think we're not keeping this money ourselves. We're returning it to the community either through the services and the facilities or through the reduction in the reduced amount that we ask extra. I think that we can tell the community that we're being fair dinkum because this rate is embedded, it's tested. And I think if we are looking at alternatives, we actually need to see what the impact will be on the financial position. And we have had a bit of time for this. And, so I put the motion.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. Motion's carried. Division's called by Councillor Gard. All those in favour of this draft budget, please stand. Councillors Pfeiffer, Telfer, Pryor, Hull, Westwood, Byram and Valescu. Just remain standing for a moment, please. Those against are Councillors Kerry, Hutchinson, Appleby, Gard and Crossland. I declare it carried. Thank you. So we'll come back and have the same discussion in 2 weeks. Councillor Pfeiffer, do you have a...
Your Worship, extension of time for any essential items for this evening?
Well, the only one I'm advised by staff is actually on page 317, Councillor Valescu's motion on the naming of the inclusive playground for the simple reason that the opening is in August and arrangements have to be made. So the name has to be fixed. So you've moved. Do we deal with that item? So that's seconded. Councillor Hull, all those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Councillor Valescu, that leaves it to you for the final motion of the meeting.
Worship, look, I was just inquiring. I wanted to have a name that actually suits the location, and I thought I always see that reserve being on Duncan Avenue.
Councillor, do you think this is the sort of thing that should be opened up for suspension of standing
orders? Yes, I
orders?
Do. That's what,
because
yes.
Have a bit of a group discussion, yep. A bit of a brainstorm.
Yep.
It is an important decision to make. Yep. You're moving that we suspend standing orders. It's a procedural motion, so I can allow that because it's to deal with this one item of business. Being a bit lateral there. Seconded Councillor Westwood. Thank you. All those in favour? That's carried. So, look, the names that have come up, it's obviously in Hendry Street Reserve. The closest, and the car park is off Hendry Street. It's immediately adjacent to Duncan Avenue, and it's also, the closest entrance is actually on Western Avenue.
Yeah.
So, everyone seems to be, well, can I also check with you, Councillor, given that we had a motion that we were reverting to playground instead of play space, what was your intention?
Look, I'm happy with playground, and I've basically taken advice from staff.
Right.
On this, and that's included.
All right. So I'm just saying we locked that away. Inclusive playground is fine.
Yeah.
We're just talking about those options or any other option. So can I...
I'm happy for people to have the discussion.
I'm just happy to hear comments from anyone at the moment, just as to the naming. What choice? Councillor Appleby?
I'd like it to be named Duncan Street Reserve. I think consistent then with a number of other reserves, including Jervois Street, having reserve rather than playground. And also, I think the use of the term inclusive suggests that other playgrounds are exclusive, so I don't think that's necessary. And I fully support Duncan.
Sure. Well, does it matter to you as a ward councillor that there is not an entrance from Duncan Avenue?
That's the only thing.
Call it West.
Councillor Byron.
Thank you, Your Worship. I was just going to ask the question about consultation on this. There's been a lot of people that have put in money to this project, and I refer to things like Rotary Clubs and different groups, and I just feel that they need to be consulted regarding the name, just out of courtesy to a lot of them, and I just want to ask that question as to what the process would be with this.
What I can say, having looked into this, is that the Memorandum of Understanding with Touched by Olivia Foundation doesn't prescribe a name of the playground, but it does say that the Touched by Olivia Foundation name or logo, I think, has to be on items of play equipment and at the entrance. Ms Dixon can clarify if that's not the case. But I don't think there's been any additional... Well, I'm not sure what staff have done. I'm not aware of additional consultation with the external community about the name as such.
I was more concerned with a lot of the people who had contributed monies and large amounts of money.
Well, the state government and council, of course, are by far the largest contributors. But in terms of consultation or name testing, Ms Dixon?
Through the chair, we haven't done any consultation around the name for the playground. As the mayor talked about before, the contributions by the different parties will be reflected with recognition by plaques at the entrance to the playground.
So, there are numerous when you really break them down, but certainly council and state government have been the major ones. Councillor Hull, what do you think?
I think there's a few questions I need to ask, and we need to make the distinction between the playground and the reserve. Two different things.
Yes.
Okay. So, in terms of the initiative to create an inclusive play space, who actually promoted, who instigated that and promoted it? Where did it come from?
It's a through the chair. So we were approached by the Touch by Olivia Foundation.
Right. So it was an unsolicited approach from them. Okay. And Livy's place is the standard identifier around the nation with their play spaces. Is there any scope to actually embed that in the title of the playground?
Through the chair, that would be a decision for council. Should it want to include that in the name or have a name such as Duncan Avenue Playground, it's up to council. There's no requirements in the agreement that we've got around naming.
Was there any understanding?
Through the chair, so Livy's Place is a name that's used by other playgrounds across the nation. We are also aware that some councils have chosen to call it different names as well, so have assigned different names. And it's a branding that Touch by Olivia used, so Livy's Place, and in our consultation around the amenity and the design, we did use the term Livy's Place.
In terms of my last question, if I may, Mr. Mayor, in terms of Councillor Byrom's question, it's a very good one about all the different people that did contribute, including the Lions Club, for that matter, the state government. There was a lot of lobbying that happened with Touch by Olivia at that level, at a ministerial level, and with the former disability member. Would you think that there would be a degree of surprise and concern if we didn't actually embed Livy's Place in the name from those quarters?
A point of order. I don't uphold. Clearly, the Councillor Hull is making his debating point with the question, but I don't rule it out because it's political. So go ahead, Councillor. Councillor Hull, yeah.
So would there be any? Would you anticipate concern or disquiet from those quarters, including the state government, if we elected not to actually pick up Livy's Place in the name? It could be Duncan Avenue, Livy's Place Reserve, for example. Do you think that there would be a possibility of maybe some bad commentary from our community?
Through the chair, we haven't asked those stakeholders about the change in name, so I couldn't comment how they'd react. The only conversation that we've had is with the Touch by Olivia Foundation around a potential change.
You want to just finish that point?
Through the chair, they would prefer that Livy's Place is used. It's part of their branding.
Councillor Westwood?
Clarification / question. We are putting a plaque up there, aren't we, crediting the Olivia Foundation, or if that's the right name?
Yes.
With contributions, is that right?
Yes.
Through the chair and their logo.
And I thought I recalled as well that we had decided not particularly to name it what I think Councillor Hull would like it to be named, I believe.
Oh, no, we haven't decided it.
Maybe I just heard opinions. Beg your pardon.
This is the decision time. Councillor Appleby, back to you again.
There's been talk about the memorandum of understanding and the obligations. Did all parties uphold their obligations under that memorandum?
Definitely not. Touched by Olivia Foundation did not come up with anywhere near the money that they promised in that memorandum. Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, the memorandum of understanding had some targets, and the target that Touched by Olivia Foundation set wasn't met.
To be fair, they got probably about 25% of it. Councillor Valescu, did you have another?
It's about the location, and that's the name, and others actually do have a location name, or sometimes they're named after local people. I don't think we have enough time to actually look at local people, that may be in that area. I know that I think there's a Mike's Place and an Alice's Place. So it's really just about something that can identify where it is. Now, if people choose to make it, you know, it's one of the networks of Libby's Place underneath, or whatever, you know, we'll have the plaques about all the donors. But I just think the name should just be more about the location, and it's an inclusive playground. And, you know, if the Tusborough Libby Foundation, you know, they advertise it as one of the ones that they initiated, and good on them for doing so, that's fine as well. But it's just about, you know, that's where it is. People are going to come to it. What's the easiest name?
So,
and based on the debate and the information, I actually think maybe it is Hendry Street, because you've got the car park, and if people have, you know, the abilities, and they're not as mobile, maybe you don't want them to go to Duncan Avenue and try to climb the fence, you know.
Sure. Ms. Dixon, is it fair to say that most of our reserves are named after the adjacent street or location?
Through the chair, yes, that's correct.
Okay. Any other opinions on the naming before I go back to Councillor Valescu? No. Well, I resume standing orders. Councillor Valescu to move.
Look, I'm quite happy to actually make it the Hendry Street. I think based on that, inclusive playground, just based on the information, the debate, if people want to add to that, I'm open to it. I'd love to hear what other people have to say.
Great. Is that seconded? Councillor Telfer, do you wish to speak?
I support Hendry Street because there will be the turn-off off Hendry Street into the car park where the inclusive playground is. So that will be the access point, and that will be the way that we move forward. And we look forward to seeing the branding and the logos and the acknowledgement of all the donors, as well as the Hendry Street name.
Mr. Mayor, this is very disappointing. I just find this treatment of the Touched by Libby Foundation appalling. It's a petulant and disrespectful response. If it wasn't for the Touched by Olivia Foundation, this would not be happening. If they had not come along to this council, and we were lucky they picked us, in my opinion, of all the councils in South Australia, it would not be happening. And just be aware that Touched by Olivia is not about this particular play space. Their mission is to have all play spaces have an element of inclusiveness. That's what their broader agenda is. And to suggest to use Libby's Place is quite reasonable. Libby's Place is more than Touched by Olivia. It is actually a mark of respect to a young lady who passed away, not experiencing a very short life, but not having access to an inclusive play space. I think that's noteworthy. Now, talk about Touched by Olivia mucking us around and not living up to commitments. How much did we muck them around? Councillor Pryor and myself had to actually make an effort to make sure that when they were displaced from the Oaklands estate, that they had somewhere else to go. And that's where I first got caught up in this. This is more than a ward issue, Mr. Mayor. There's been engagement across two wards at least, and it's nearly a $1 million project. Why shouldn't we all have an interest in this and not just think it's Jason Valescu's baby? It's not. It's
respect.
Not.
It's not my baby.
I uphold the point of order, and please will you not refer to other councillors in that personal manner.
All right. But it is a council-wide issue. Now, I just think that all those people that contributed to the appeal by Touched by Olivia. Now, Touched by Olivia also had the tyranny of distance. They're based in Sydney. It was pretty tricky to actually try and organise things thousands of kilometres away. Some of their ambassadors, by nature, their disabled people, became ill from time to time and were in hospital. Things didn't go to plan. But I think that we haven't actually embraced the gesture that was made and the initiative. Like, prior to that, we had no disabled access for kiddies to play with. And we're lucky enough to have it right alongside our pool, which means we should be upgrading our disability access at our pool now. Now, I just think that if we do this, we're going to actually fail in the community engagement stakes. I think the government will probably take an interest in it as well. And this is not going to be a good look for this council, Mr. Mayor. And you have led this. You have unashamedly led this, and to your discredit.
Thank you, Worship. Yes, with the permission of the mover and seconder, I would like to make an amendment to the motion that it be named the Hendry Street Inclusive Playground, but that we make sure in that motion we have included that Livy's Place is to be on that sign underneath that name.
Councillor. Well, I won't uphold, I won't deal with the point of order because I think it requires clarification exactly what the motion is. So I won't uphold the point of order at the moment. But what exactly is the proposal, Councillor Byrom? It's always best if it comes up in
writing. So, Hendry Street Inclusive Playground as part of the Livy's Place Network. Could we ask Councillor Velescu his comments on that, please?
People know it's part of that network, but they refer to it as a Hendry Street Playground, and it's just about naming it for the location and accessibility. So that you know, that identifies all the concerns that, that Councillor Hull has, and it's geographical and it's the easy access. That's essentially why, and I thought maybe Duncan Avenue might be easier, but when I got more info and on the signage of the reserve and stuff, so...
Well, as I understand the amendment now, it's not actually changing the name. It's just saying as part of the Livy's Place network, that word needs to be added there. If it's not changing the name, then it's not against the motion, it's not contrary to the motion. Ms. McKenzie, do you have a view on that from a governance point of view? So the motion's acceptable. Did you want to speak further to the motion, Councillor Byrom?
I don't think Councillor Telfer's said whether she's in agreeance.
Withdraw.
Sorry?
Withdraw in a second.
I'll withdraw a second.
So I will second it.
Sorry. Was the did the mover accept the variation?
Yes.
Right. So we're back to square one. That would be an amendment if you want to go down that track, Councillor Byrom.
I will move it as an amendment then. You wish me to talk to it now?
Yes, please.
Point of order. I don't think there is a motion now that Councillor Telfer's withdrawn her seconding.
No, the what happened is that the seconder didn't accept the variation, so we are left with the original motion moved by Councillor Velescu.
The Councillor Telfer said she withdrew her seconding, I thought.
So it's under control. Councillor Appleby, the motion is, as you see there, as point number one in the middle of the screen, the City of Marion Inclusive Playground be named the Hendry Street Inclusive Playground. And there's an amendment that has been moved, and Councillor Byrom's about to speak. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Worship. I want it recognised that the Livy's Place people that are touched by Olivia's organisation is a not-for-profit organisation. They did have trouble getting the money, and so some people see that as a breach of the agreement. But they did advertise, and with the help of us and other people, and other organisations did come forward, and there was more money found. So we have achieved this. I do believe, as Councillor Huller has said, we need to recognise that in some form. To just have it as Livy's Place Playground doesn't identify the actual location, so I do agree that having the Hendry Street, and that will help people who are with their access vehicles and with wheelchairs to know to go and enter via Hendry Street to where the access parks will be next to the playground. So I do believe this all shows that this is something that we can have for our council as the first one in South Australia. So I do support this.
Councillor Byrom, just a clarification to help staff with this. So are you content, as I understand, I'm really trying to clarify the motion, that the name would be the Henry Street Inclusive Playground, but it would be broadly publicised as part of the Livy's Place network?
Yes, yeah, so the signage of the name that would be on there with it.
Ah, no. Well, that's where you get into being contrary to the motion. You see, it doesn't actually say that at the moment, but if that's what you intend, then your motion should probably be more specific. And if it's specific about changing the name, then you should vote against the current name and bring a further motion, I would say. So, Councillor Byrom, what would you like to do?
So just to clarify, if we're saying the City of Marion... I can't see that. Sorry, could we have it moved up a bit? Thank you. There was a head in the way. The City of Marion Inclusive Playground be named the Henry Street Inclusive Playground, and the signage have part of Livy's Place Network underneath it. Does that make it clearer? No, Your Worship, I think I've spoken enough to it.
Is that seconded? Councillor Byrom is. Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded. Did you wish to speak? Then I'll put the amendment.
The motion hasn't changed, so it's still confusing as to whether that is one name. I think there need to be inverted commas around Henry Street.
What about a comma after playground? That, Councillor Appleby, does that help everyone? Right. Councillor Byrom, you're happy with that? Okay. Putting the amendment as moved and seconded, all those in favour? All those against? It's carried by a majority. Now, anyone who hasn't spoken may speak to the motion as amended. If there are no more speakers, we'll go back to Councillor Valescu to close the debate.
Didn't want to get into all the other debate, but essentially we want this to be somewhere that's easy to find. And we do, you know, just like in other places, it's part of that network. And we do thank the, you know, the organisation, Touchpoint Livy, for coming to us. But we also thank the other organisations that assisted and the other charities and those that have donated. But I think that, you know, let's go for a practical name, where this facility actually is.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. I declare the meeting closed.